You're looking for something. A new way. A new understanding. A connection. Some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. We are here to always, always to give you reasons to feel good. And we are just continuing this. This is the second week that we are doing for Rise, Amazing Woman Rise, the interview series. This is week two. And this is where we begin with connection and self-love. We're going to explore two more of the eight essential powers of the feminine heart that are the future of success in leadership. And I wanted to actually just focus on that word strongly today, because that's what these conversations are about. This is why these wonderful co-authors have wanted to share what essential power they felt. You know, they're all important, as we're just kind of chatting in the back curtain there, but there are certain essential powers that really lend to a way to lead and be a leader, leave a legacy, but from the feminine heart. And so, as I said, we're going to be doing connection, which I love, 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 and self-love. There's just layers and layers upon there. And we're going to find out how you guys can really experience it from their perspective. And hopefully that helps you and you can see just where you might be lacking and how you can strengthen it, but from the most compassionate part. So we're going to welcome our first guest, who's one of the eight co-authors of Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. And her name is Dina Breslin. I did that again. Sorry, Dina. Dina holds 25 years of experience in sales, marketing, leadership, there's our word, and success coaching. A former physician assistant, Dina is a passionate advocate for holistic and integrated health and wellness. And since 2009, she's been a top leader and founding member of Touchstone Crystal by Swarovski. And that is a word I've had to practice all my life, let me tell you. Swarovski, there we go. The at-home jewelry division of Swarovski, U.S. Dina is certified by three coach schools, including high-performance coaching, as taught by esteemed leadership mentor Brendan Bouchard. I love him, Dina. Oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. Her practice incorporates one-on-one coaching, small business, and executive coaching. She's a single mom of three amazing teens whom she says are truly her best teachers. How true. Learn more about Dina right now. I'll let you know this and her work by visiting. I think that site's not quite there. So I'm going to send you guys over to her Facebook. So it's Dina Breslin, Breslin. So Dina, welcome. And thank you so much for talking to us about connection.
Thank you, Lisa. This is exciting.
It is. When I saw that the connection was coming up, it's funny because I literally just did a whole show on connection. And you, I love that you say that you really talk about how women especially were feeling so disconnected. And can you just share what that means? What's going on about this with this disconnection?
So, of course, we can imagine that disconnection comes in all varieties of forms, right? But primarily in this world right now, we are disconnected just for the mere fact that many of us are just pulled in many, many directions. Women more than ever are wearing multiple hats in a day, in an hour. We're, you know, being moms, we're being workers, you know, whether we're business owners or yogis or teachers or whatever, and we're trying to do it all. We're trying to be superwomen. And, you know, we're very, very distracted by a lot of things throughout the day, social media, the pressures of quote-unquote success versus failure. More than ever, I think in terms of women and being disconnected, we just often don't make the time to stay connected to our true selves.
No, the truth. When you said that, I drew a little picture of having, being pulled in different directions, because everybody knows how that feels. It's so frustrating. But, and something I was going to ask you is that I know myself, right, when I feel like I'm just losing my own thoughts in myself. You know, I can't, mm-hmm. I'm not happy because I'm thinking so much. And I think, oh, I just want to, as soon as I connect with somebody, like say yourself, who just has an open heart. Now, sometimes though, I want to retreat and disconnect. Now, is that because it's who or what we're connecting to?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you make up such a great point, it's connection is retreating. Connection is retreating from everything else.
Oh my God. Oh, I love that. I have to write it down.
Yes.
Connection is retreating.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so
cool
because it's what you do. So what do we do? Like, what is it? I mean, we all know that we go, God, I just got to get over this mall. There's too many people.
So like over all these years, you've read my bio, right? I've done all kinds of different things, right? I've been in pharma. I've been a physician assistant. I've seen patients in my 10 by 12 room. I've worked with direct sellers all across the country. And through all this time, as I've learned that we go in and out of connection with ourselves. We go in and out. You know, the people that I come across, you know, there's no perfection in being. Okay. Our goal is not 100% connection with ourselves. It's sort of those two words. I'd love everybody, all the listeners, to just sort of remove from your language. There's no perfection. There's no 100%, you know, but what we're looking for is the art form of growth and progress. So in order, these are the things that I would pull together as I've learned. Life is messy. It can be difficult and that is absolutely okay. And, you know, oftentimes when we feel most disconnected and messy, that's a clue for us to reconnect rather than to spiral, you know, into adding more things and doing more things and, you know, being so disappointed in ourselves and the bad self-talk. So that's the first thing. Notice the clue. Number two, I would say, hey, it's perfectly okay to redesign how you want to show up. And that's related typically to pause and retreat, as you use that word. And so in order to redesign things, you almost have to go back to the drawing board. You almost have to, when you're feeling most disconnected, you know, you must go back to the drawing board and reconnect to yourself and recharge and replug in and listen better. And then the other thing I would say is life's magic is truly experienced when we are connected to our inner truth. You know, it's the inner truth that really is longing to come out.
Mm-hmm. It's laughing because when you said the pause button, I just want to step back to your number two there because I'm imagining, you know, old school, imagining the remote control, the pause button. And you know, when we're watching a movie or a show and we go, whoa, wait a second, what? I'm not following. And so you pause to process. You pause to connect to the storyline, you know, to the characters, or maybe it's something so emotional that happened that you need to just pause and go, whoa, I can't go to the next scene yet because I'm overloaded kind of thing, right?
Right, right.
We even replay
it too, Lisa. That's important too. That's very important that we can replay things so that we can actually process and grasp the learning.
Okay, that was huge for me right now because you know what? You're right. It's not just a pause. Sometimes we go pause, rewind, let me see that again.
Yes.
But if we're so distracted, we're not making time to replay it. Oh my gosh, like appreciation.
Mm-hmm. And gratitude, yeah.
Yes. So when you say about connected, and I love that those two words just came up, how does somebody, if they're feeling like they're going, oh my God, that's me. I wish I could pause the world and I could do that and I could retreat or connect again and just listen. What is the best thing to do if we're in that spinning, crazy thing and disconnected?
Mm-hmm.
How do
mm-hmm.
we get there?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, first, how should I say? Again, just be gentle on yourself and recognize that this is an ebb and flow. Your life is a beautiful ebb and flow. And the first thing that, you know, sort of you'll read it in the book that I sort of had an amazing awareness most recently was you have to give yourself permission. You must give yourself permission to not be perfect. Right? You have to give yourself permission to be your best self. And that to understand that we are women who are becoming. Again, it's the art of becoming. moving forward progress, right? So first is giving yourself permission, right, to recognize things in yourself. The second, I think, would be, you know, really think about in 2019, I just gave a talk at a corporate client, and we talked about our superpowers. And in order to get to the superpowers, I almost feel like you have to shed some skin. You have to trim off excess. You have to say no more. So in 2019, I'm on this major campaign for women to say no. So creating a list of no, like simple language Ooh. That can begin to redesign how you show up to be. So let's say, give a couple. No to chaos. As soon as you feel chaos, it's a reason or a clue to pause. No to blaming others or making excuses for yourself. You want to take extreme ownership on your life. It's very empowering language. No to mediocrity. You know, when was the last time we went above and beyond, you know, to learn more or to be more or to educate ourselves more, knowledge, right? How about no to energy zappers? No to disempowering language. Like that everything happens between our ears can be so damaging unless it's enlightening. If it's disempowering, let's catch it. Let's say no to it. And then I would just say the last thing would be to make time each day. You know, I've worked with clients that we create a gratitude journal in the morning that we go to every day. And we not only do we write the art of writing, but we actually put ourselves in the energy of the space of what we're saying we're grateful for. Okay, so that's a little different than, hey, boy, I'm. And then the other thing that we can do is in the evening, we can do maybe 10 minutes before bed. We can reflect. So you can have a journal in the morning or a journal in the evening, and we can do a reflection. So we do a playback over our day.
Playback.
Right? So this is why I said we can replay the day and highlight for ourselves the things that are really most closely aligned with who we are and where the joy is. Where we can, you know, be awake to the joy. Be awake to the possibilities. Be awake to our progress.
Okay, that's a huge one right now. That I love that you said that. Highlight the things that brought us back. Oh, what did you say about being aligned? Because that was huge. Because we don't want to highlight and play back all the yucky stuff.
Yes. No. Correct. You do want to do the replay of the day, and you just want to align with the things that brought you joy, the energy, the gratitude, the things where you're seeing progress. Wow. You know, geez, when I had that argument with my daughter. Because it's stressful to raise children. Hello? It's not easy. And so, you know, when I have three teenagers right now, so, you know, I know this firsthand, but when I had that argument with my daughter, boy, I really caught myself, and my language was more gentle with her, and she had a wonderful aha at the end. And that's what I focused on, rather than I had an argument with my daughter. Right. And I can't stand raising children. You know, so you can, you know, again, it's that empowering language, you know. Oh, I had this experience at work. And, you know, you're reflecting back over it. And the experience at work is, boy, that would have really frustrated me a couple of weeks ago. But I'm noticing that I'm putting my empathy hat on much better. And I'm able to really, you know, have more compassion for that person that I'm working with and understand where they're coming from before I jump to judge or blame. You see?
I could unwrap everything you said and make it into 5 hours. I think right now I'm just like, oh! I feel I'm lit up because I'm feeling so connected because I love what – you actually just had a way of saying that really hit me because – you're right. Some people just think about a journal as this, but you use the word reflection. And then when you say, okay, not just reflection, but now we're highlighting ways that align us to what we were aligned to that brought us joy. And I want to repeat these because they're so important. And brought progress. Okay. I have to sit there for a second because I know I want to wrap feminine around this for a second. And because this is what we're not saying boy and girl, we're saying open heart. And when we say progress, and because you use the word permission, and I know I'm jumping back, but
permission. I often, you know, remember being a little girl and asking my mom something, and my mom would say, well, we'll wait till your father gets home and then we can ask him. And he was like the final say. Very, very teamwork and stuff. But in my word, permission, I guess I've grown up thinking there's a masculine energy to it. Do I have the right to give permission to myself for these things? And so I love that you highlighted it as a list of no's. And just for fun, I'm putting you on the spot. But I love those lists of no's, by the way. And I was like frantically writing because I love them. But what would be a list of yeses?
Well, that's great. That's brilliant. So the thing is when, let's for example say, no, let's use no to chaos is a pathway to being much more in tune with our time and grateful for the time we've been given. Mm-hmm. So instead of having chaos, we can actually appreciate how time, we are in charge and in control of time. We all have the same amount of time. So saying yes to the things that we get to say yes to the things that we absolutely, that will bring us joy, the things that matter most. You know, we can, and that's a whole workshop. That is a whole workshop that I can do, you know, on time management and really gratitude to time and the gift of time. You know, if you want me, I can keep going. My goodness, like no to blaming and no to gossip, let's say.
Yeah,
so
I would love to do the blaming
instead of pointing
thing.
Fingers. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I think that we get so frazzled in life. In fact, I just had a conversation with a teammate, and we got so frazzled in life that, you know, she just listed off 10 things that were the reasons why she couldn't be her best self. Hmm. And really, that's just pointing the finger outward. And my job, which I so, you know, it wasn't always this way, and I wasn't always good at it, and I certainly am, you know, continuing to learn. But my job as a coach is to turn the finger sort of towards that person's best strengths. So we can say yes to those things rather than say no, you know, meaning instead of blaming everything else, we want to say yes to what is your real strength right now? What is it that you really want to have come out of you right now? And we accomplished it. It took 30 minutes, but we accomplished it. And she was just, it was delightful. It was absolutely delightful.
Oh, okay. I love that you use the word delightful because I'm thinking of the light, and she, and you, there was light shone on that. And so, you just did it again. You're a really great coach. I feel like I'm just getting this almost goodies right here because you know what? You just actually, again, changed my perspective. I've heard that before. When you point your finger, three are pointing back at you. You know that saying? And so what you said, and most times when we say the three, and then I take that like, oh, great, I'm not blaming someone else, but now I'm blaming me. But it's, you didn't say that. You shocked me. You actually said you're pointing to your best strengths. You're not pointing back at yourself to say, all right, it's my fault. I did it. I suck. You know, you totally just swung that around to a very empowered language. Ooh, that was good.
Well, I think, go ahead. I was just going to say, I think that, you know, if we can always remember that we are a leader of one first, which is ourselves, you know, and really that empowering language is really, we're taking ownership, we're taking leadership and ownership of our own mindset, our practices, our behavior, our beliefs.
You know, that was a great thank you. Oh my gosh, we are a leader of one first ourselves. Oh my gosh, this is so fun. With you on chapter that I can't even imagine, like I can't imagine how you picked even one story of everything to share. But by writing that chapter, when somebody picks up the book, it's by everybody, it's Rise, Amazing Woman Rise. And Marsha Engels has chosen, I believe so far, the first 8 people to discuss these essential powers. And when you speak of connection in your chapter, what can you imagine they would get from it or feel like after reading it?
Well, so first I go through a story of pain. I actually bring them to a place of physical disconnect. And so that my own physical disconnect. And so I think it's going to stir them to be connected that way, just to be aware that, oh my goodness, I have felt this way. And then I change the dialogue and then just like we did 2 minutes ago, where we come out of the fire together. And so, you know, we bridge that over to, okay, you know, it's our responsibility here on the planet in this space and time to ripple effect the best of what we got. And so let's find what we got. Let's find the best of what we got. Let's reflect on it. Let's call it up and rise it up and out of us so that then we can ripple it out over the universe and or the world rather. And then I give some tools and tips on how to do that.
I can imagine those tools and tips are going to be incredible. Like right now. That is so amazing that you've gone through. I love that you said redesign, reinvent, redesign, because when you just highlighted that, I just want the listeners to really grasp that you were in sales and marketing, but then into a physician's role, like a health and wellness, but then boom, I'm going to say it properly again, Swarovski. Yes, get it. Okay. You probably have hundreds of people that you have to do this connect with, but yet you actually help, you coach them. Are you coaching them within your business or is the coaching separate?
I do both. I have a wonderful team of women in the Swarovski group and, you know, in Touchstone Crystal that I coach. And then I have a side practice where you as a listener could be, you know, could hire me as a coach for, again, one-on-one coaching, group coaching, seminars. I can come and do seminars with your teams, small businesses, executive coaching, all of that.
Wow. I can see you up on stage already. Imagine just what people are getting from hearing these things. You do have that language that really reminds people and give them direction and practice. Do you practice, like, do you do your 10 minutes before bed every night? And you're like, do you make the time every day for you? Because you're helping so many people.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, again, I'm not shooting for perfection of 7 days a week, you know? So I always tell people, if you can do 4 or 5 days a week where you're just moving yourself along, that's what I shoot for. And absolutely I do. Morning time is definitely gratitude time, deep breathing, getting reconnected. I like to do, I'm also a student of Tony Robbins, so I really like to do the 10 minutes in the morning where I project out blessings to people that I'm thinking of, energy. And then in the evening, yeah, definitely. I actually reflect throughout the day. I make gratitude like a living practice. So, all about the day. Like, remember I gave you the example of me having a little argument with my teenage daughter?
Yes.
Well, that I reflect pretty quickly afterward. So I'm doing reflection, replay, gratitude throughout the day as well.
Right. It is. I love that you said it's a living practice. I think that's what makes it really, it embeds it into your life. So it flows because you live this way. A fun little share. I practice appreciation. I love being, it probably annoys people because I highlight it often, but even when I have a dream and somebody's helped me in my dream, I will actually reach out and thank them in reality and say, wow, you were so helpful in my dream. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
It brings joy and you speak of joy. And I want you to say if somebody's listening to you right now and they're, you know, going, gosh, like, they're already connecting. They're already feeling this. They want to give themselves permission and they want the joy. When we come from us, how to differentiate coming to joy from the feminine heart versus the masculine heart? What should we, quote unquote, be focusing on, but the strongest highlighted things to come from the feminine heart way to connect?
So I really do think it's the pause. You know, masculine side is mostly of doing and solving. I think the feminine side is mostly of pause and listening inward and really getting in touch with that gut intuition.
Here's a tough question for you. Here's a coaching tough question.
Ooh.
So when you've got momentum going and you're doing, you're going, pause is hard. Like, imagine you were in somebody is in the middle of an argument with their children or whomever, boss. How do we get that control to go, I just need to stop? How do we do that?
So as I was saying, like, it's definitely not something that you can say that you want to do and do immediately.
Oh, okay.
Right. So yeah, So it's a process, and that's why we try to do those bookend exercises of the morning and the evening. And I have gals do that for 7 days. I have them do it for 7 days, and then we follow up, and then they start noticing, and then there's more awarenesses, and it's building a muscle. And so by the second week, now they're outreaching more in joy. They're coming from a place in space of energy of joy. So you have to kind of almost prime the pump.
Yeah.
If you will, okay. To get that muscle going. And then, you know, along the way, we have people read certain things. We do other types of exercises. Oh, man, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But it's not automatic, and it's not perfect. It's not automatic. It's an ebb and flow. And as long as we're on the same page and they've given themselves permission and I'm their coach and I'm their ally and we're working together, it's pretty good stuff. And even if you're not working with a coach, you can still do this practice.
Right. Yes. Yeah. It's not necessary. It's on your own. I love it. I love that you let everybody know. It feels like you've just softened it for everybody and it's more gentle because I love that you wrote that our goal is not perfection. And I think that's the best invitation for anybody who would like to soften and sink into their awareness, you know, like ebbs and flows, then I'm inviting everybody to reach out to you well, first of all, get the book. Everybody's got to get the book. Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise.
Right.
Read that book. Find the chapters. You'll feel that resonating connection with everybody. And where's the best place for people to find you?
I think right now I connect with people in different ways, but the best way right now really would be through Facebook. Just find me on Facebook and private message me and just say, hey, I heard your podcast or your interview with Lisa Berry. I'd love to learn more about coaching or learn more about how I can improve my life or whatever. Or go to LinkedIn. So Dina Breslin.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Place, the art. Yeah, either place.
Okay, yeah. So Dina, D-E-N-A, Breslin, B-R-E-S. Mm-hmm. I-N. And the link will be fun because if anybody is looking for a business, and I love crystals and shiny things. So thank you so much, Dina, for sharing this first part of the show with us. I love that we connected.
Thanks so much, Lisa.
Thanks, Dina. We'll be right back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Imagine tapping into a power where you could access the ability to transform your views of money, success, happiness, and fulfillment. A power that you could unlock hidden talents, uncover new meaning, and amplify the significance of your purpose. Well, the feminine heart is the source of that power, intelligence, insight, and understanding. Join this new wave of women's leadership that's emerging. Be the woman who knows her greatest power to create goes well beyond the day-to-day striving for results. Be the woman who knows her true power to contribute to the world in significant ways is one that expresses her heart, enlivens her creativity, and elevates her spirit. Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise! An Amazing Woman Legacy book compiled by Marsh Engel, sharing the 8 essential powers of the feminine from 8 influential mentors, entrepreneurs, and change makers that will help you tap into that power. Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. Your legacy begins by leading with a feminine heart.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Welcome back, everyone, to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. And I just have to say this, I truly love commercials. That was such, who doesn't love a commercial where you get to hear like cats meowing and dogs barking, right? So I want to, as we continue on, we are doing the Rise Amazing Woman Rise interview series. We are bringing on our second guest and co-author of that amazing book, which is, of course, a leadership book, a feminine heart book. It's just, I think if I, you know, I've been hearing the word rise so much that I'm catching it in conversations. And one wonderful, incredible woman who has definitely risen above something that we all find very challenging, but it shouldn't be, is self-love. And her name is Pamela Nebeker. And I'm going to spell that for everybody after, but it's, well, now, N-E-B-E-K-E-R. I love spelling everybody's name because if you want, if you go, oh, I want to look her up, then you can always find them. Pamela, I'm so happy that you're here, and I know you were on listening for the half, but I want to welcome before I share your little bio here.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, you guys are good morning because you're on the West Coast, and I'm here on the East Coast. So yes, I wish it was morning again. Well, Pam, I want to share this bio that you have here because you actually tackle something that I can't imagine any woman not like coming up to a little bit, which is about aging and stuff like that. So let me just read this and then we'll dive right in, okay?
Okay.
Well, everybody, Pamela Nebeker is a lover of beauty, and she is gorgeous too, guys, and a seeker of truth. As a podcaster, speaker, and author, she teaches the power of embracing life at every age. Pamela is changing the way we think about growing older. She is the creator of The Art of Age Now, a movement that inspires women to be their best every decade of their lives. She is married to the man of her dreams and lives in Los Angeles, California. She has, are you ready, guys? She has 8 grown children and 5 beautiful grandchildren. And Pamela invites you to join her on this courageous, that's so true, journey of aging into the beauty of who we truly are. Ah, Pamela, you have shackled like something so mountainous. Like, I think of the industry about anti-aging. Do you even use that word, anti-aging?
No, absolutely
not. That word isn't. Okay, so, this is, first of all, you guys, she is youthful. Look, like, you radiate, and it's not even a physical thing. It just really, you glow from the inside. How do you tap in to the inner beauty like this?
You know, I believe that what we put into our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our spirits, are what create the beauty that light that goes out to the world that makes us beautiful. So, you know, it can be food and water, but it's also what we read, what we write, what we listen to, what we what we do in our everyday lives and what we allow to come into us, whether it be the movies we watch or the entertainment, it's all goes in and then it comes back out to the world.
Yeah.
And we can, it can be light or not. So
yeah.
That's what I've learned to do.
I love that you actually highlighted that of all things, that it can be food for sure. And it can be no things, but when we allow, I don't want to say negative, when we allow hurtful or too many things to get us overwhelmed, that's it can come out as stress, and stress is age. I have to quote something from one of your words. I was peeking at your website. It's actually gorgeous as well. It glows. But I just highlighted this one thing because I just love it. It says, gradually I stopped fighting growing older and began aging into beauty. First of all, That's an incredible line. And then you share with everybody that you let your hair turn silver and white and grew it long and wild down my back. Wrinkles became the precious evidence that I had lived with courage and labored with might and laughed with joy. And so finally, instead of feeling like a lost cause, I began taking up a cause. My cause, finding authenticity in who I am presently, our cause, changing the way we think about growing older. I had to quote. That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. And I feel it. It feels so truthful.
Yeah, it's right from the heart, right from the heart. You know, our grandmothers and our mothers didn't have as many opportunities as we have now. And I think that if we seize these opportunities, instead of buying into the old beliefs that, you know, life's over after 40 or 50 or whatever, yeah. You know, if we stop buying in as women, as a society, we're going to be able to move mountains and do things that our grandmothers never imagined that we could do.
Yes, that's so interesting that you use that word of buying in, where I originally, as soon as I read about you, I thought, oh my gosh, the marketing that's out there that we literally buy into, where as we buy certain products with certain language on them, do you think that's subliminally convincing us that and reminding us to buy into that we're old, you know, if we don't do this, then we're going to look like old hags, you know?
You know, I think it does. And for so long, it was that gray hair. Oh, my gosh, hide the gray hair. That's the only thing, the only option. Hide it. Color your hair. And now there's, I mean, I let my hair, I actually shaved all my hair off when I turned 45. All my brown, blonde hair. And I just decided I'm not coloring anymore. I'm going to let it grow the natural color. I'm going to let God be my creator, my artist, you know, and I will release myself and be his masterpiece or her masterpiece,
wow.
Whichever, or both, right?
So
now it's, you know, 18 years later, and people are starting to embrace letting their hair be silver and loving it. And I'm not saying that, you know, you're right or wrong either way. What I'm saying is that there is something, a peace and a beauty that comes from embracing who we really are and whatever age we really are. There's no embarrassment about being 58 years old. You know, I mean, people used to lie about their age. Holy cow. Why? You know, we should be proud that we're still on this earth and that we're still contributing and that we're still living and thriving.
So, differently, but yes. This is an interesting one because that takes it does take a lot of self, it finds, like your journey to get there, did you use self-love or was that your original thing? I want to love myself. Or were you just tired of not loving yourself? How did that come about that you got here?
You know, I would say that it was, it's a matter of one thing after another. You know, I was introduced to one thing that helped me to spurn into more interest on self-love. And it doesn't happen overnight, I don't think. For me, it took several things. I talk about in the book, line upon line. We learn as we're ready to learn. Teachers plant seeds that somehow maybe we don't wake up to that seed until 20 years later. But once that seed sprouts, and starts to grow, we're like, oh my gosh, she told me that, you know, 20 years ago. And now I get it, finally, you know. And sometimes that's what we need to do in our lives, is to just plant seeds in people and trust that, you know, they're gonna get it. It's gonna grow at some point when they're ready for it.
That couldn't be more from the feminine heart, right? Plant seeds in others. That is so nurturing and so having faith that something will just grow because it knows how, with love.
Right. Right. And believe in people, even when they're not, you know, ready. Yeah.
Right. Right. Now, I have to ask you, you've got eight children. That's a big family.
It is a big family.
How many girls and boys? What's the genders?
So we have 3 girls and 5 boys.
Okay.
And they're all amazing people. And I'm grateful.
This is the interesting thing I wanted to bring up about that, because with age, I mean, you've got your own test market right here. You know, there's enough in the day about both genders. When you were all growing up, because I'm assuming they're a little bit, you got grandchildren, so they're growing older now. Was the feminine and masculine, do you see a difference in the conversations that your children are having, from your grandchildren having, with that large of a family communicating and sharing? The difference do you see for masculine and feminine leadership?
You know, I used to separate the masculine and the feminine, and I had the girls and the boys and the boy rooms and the girl rooms, and you know, I did a disservice to my kids by separating that. And as I've grown though, I see them growing and embracing both their feminine and their masculine sides, which is so beautiful, so beautiful. And I see them parenting in a way where it's not about the masculine and the feminine, or boys should do this or girls should do that. They embrace those little children as people, and they nurture both that feminine and masculine side. I'm so proud of them.
Yeah.
Way better than I did back when I didn't know.
Right. Well, you know, it's really interesting. I remember, being invited to baby showers, and, you know, it was like, oh, well, we have to know what it is, because we can't have pink at this and blue at that. So better go with yellow and green, you know?
Right.
Somehow yellow and green wasn't a boy or a girl. I don't know why, but do you think that there are some aspects that just aren't neither feminine nor masculine? Like when you do certain activities, you said you're not focusing on that masculine feminine anymore, but we also see a rise in the feminine heart and the way we lead. So what are the top few things, essentials with that are built around self-love that you see more, we'll call it feminine, that we could all work on a little bit more, open up to more?
I used to think that women were more, or the feminine side was more inclined to service, to serving others. And I'm very grateful that with my children, that they all had that opportunity to develop that feminine side of service. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if my phone keeps beeping. I don't know.
Oh, it's okay. I only heard it once, so it's good. You're good.
Okay. Thank you. So through service is one way that I think helps to balance out that masculine and feminine. But at the same time, I think that business and numbers, it used to be that women were, they shied away, or they were pushed away from learning those things because they weren't capable of it. And I mean, I've been an entrepreneur my entire life, and felt like I had to embrace both sides. And you know what? It made me a better person, and I'm grateful for it. I was a single mom for a long time until I married my my third husband. And
the love of your life?
Yes. He's the love of my life. Third time is a charm. But I was alone for a long time, so I played both roles of mother, father, breadwinner, you know, creator of the home, and it was good for me. I can go and say that now, that I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to embrace both sides and develop both sides, the yin, the yang. It made me a better person.
How could someone right now, if they're recognizing, perhaps there's, you know, a listener right now, and she's a woman, and she has shied away, and she's, you know, only doing the service part, but and not in a way that's it's helping her. What could that woman start doing right now to help her to balance out and to step into some of the more powerful feminine strengths?
Okay. I think that the first thing that was the aha moment for me was gratitude. Having gratitude in all things, whether the good, the bad, the ugly, because there are lessons to be learned from every single thing, and therefore are good. I do a little exercise with my clients where we go through, I have them take 10 minutes, write down the 10 most significant events in their life, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's not just the good memories. And then we go through and see how those things are connected. And they are. They're all connected. One thing after another gets you to where you are now. And it could be a tragedy or something very, very difficult. It could also be the birth of your child. You know, I mean, we have those extremes. We're here to experience, right? And the experience, if we embrace every experience and see how they're all interconnected, the synchronicity in our lives, there are no mistakes. We are perfectly imperfect. And that's life. It's good.
That's interesting that you said that, because in the Dina in the first half said about our goal is not perfection. And I love that you kind of worded that differently, but the same, like we are perfectly imperfect.
Yeah. Isn't it beautiful?
It is. It is.
Can you imagine being perfect?
Yes. Oh, but I mean, how boring, right? I have to ask this question. I think this is going to be a big looped one. You chose gratitude, which I love that you did. Now, here's an interesting one. So I'm imagining that woman, she's listening, and she's feeling like, I would like to come more from the feminine heart, until she hears, and she goes, okay, gratitude now. The word martyr came to me when you said that, because I think a lot of women, and men, but people, will think if they're just doing, they're doing a lot. And they think about gratitude, at first they think, but I do everything. And if I were to show gratitude for others, it would take away from my doing, the appreciation and the value of me constantly doing. If I start giving gratitude to other things and everybody, then they'll lose their role. I feel like there could be a loss of identity. So how can we go into gratitude safely?
Well, I think it starts with, I took Sarah Van Breathnick's book to heart when I read that, and she talks about gratitude, and she talks about a gratitude journal. She talked about it on Oprah years and years ago. And if you write down five things, and it's very personal, you don't have to show it to anybody. The way to begin is to just write down five things. And so people who are afraid of giving away their power, or the way that they feel about service, if they were to just start by writing down five things in a gratitude journal every night, and pretty soon, a few years down the road, you have books and books of things you're grateful for. And then those things multiply, and those opportunities multiply, and your love multiplies, because you're starting to accept and love yourself and your life, and you're able to do more service and more good. If we don't love ourselves, we cannot truly love anyone else. We're living from the ego if we don't love ourselves.
That is a common statement that we do hear, that we, you know, a lot of people, they'll say, yeah, but I do love my maid or my children, but I don't love myself. So you just mentioned something really interesting there. It's coming from ego then.
Yeah.
Can you explain that just a little bit? Because it, like, some people will think, yeah, but I don't love myself, but I totally love my whoever. How does that, what does that mean that they're coming from the ego part?
It means that they're coming from the things that they've learned in this world that, so when you grow up and you have all these shoulds, I should do this, okay, or I should do that, or, you know, whatever, you get these things in your mind of how life is supposed to be. Well, life never turns out the way that you think it's supposed to be.
Right.
And right. And so if we can take the things and be grateful for them and continue to grow, and it's a cycle. It's like a spiral of going up in a spiral, going round and round and learning and being grateful. And then the spiral gets bigger and bigger as you get toward the top or as you live longer. So if we are living by the ego, feeding our ego with, I do all this service, so I don't need to be grateful to, you know, then you're not truly embracing your existence, your passion, your truth, your purpose, the purpose that we have on this earth, whatever purpose that might be. And that's why
I use the word existence.
Yeah.
That was a good word. I was thinking about how when you talked about the seed earlier, planting the seed, it kind of feels like doing that list that you mentioned, five things, being grateful for five things and how that grows and multiplies. It's like that's the seed, that gratitude is a seed that we can all plant.
Yes, it's the beginning of self-love.
Oh, I love that. Wait, I got to write that down. Gratitude is the beginning of self-love. Oh, you worded that so well. No wonder you're a writer.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, so what could be, so you take on clients, so you work with them, you bring them into your realm of sharing this and how to age beautifully, how to have self-love. Just share with people, if they're listening, they're really connecting, they think, yeah, I want to have some more self-love and really honor that and love aging, you know, or the word, whichever word you use properly. What does that look like and how can they get a hold of you?
Well, my website is PamelaNebaker.com. And then my Facebook page is Pamela Nebaker, The Art of Age.
The Art of Age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where I share ideas and thoughts and information on embracing your beauty where you are, wherever you are in life, and magnifying it.
I love that.
And it's not about stuff to put on your skin.
Right. That's just the enhancing it. Or there's something that you had there. It said, I'm a firm believer that happiness makes people prettier. It's a noticeable glow. And that's what it is. It's glowing. So do you think that glow, when you glow, it's self-love shining through? Shining out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the more you glow, the more you let other people glow.
Aww.
You give them permission by your glowing, you give them permission to glow too.
That is true, isn't it? And there you go. That's what a leader is. And this is what we're talking about, leadership. Lead with a glow. I love that because people can hold a torch in front and they are glowing. Well, I hope that, you know, your chapter on self-love, I just want to really highlight to people, when you pick up the book Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise, and you're reading each chapter, that title of it, like just, you know, self-love, there's so much more. And I love that you come from a different space. You're coming from, you know, the art of age. And so I want to thank you so much, so much, Pamela, for being here with us for the second half of this show with our fourth essential. Powers. And I just, a huge thank you to both you ladies for writing the chapter. Do you also have a book, a separate book?
I do not yet. It's in the process, and it's called
Breathe In Beauty.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's gorgeous.
I love that. Okay, guys, you've got to watch out for that book. I meant to ask, actually, Dina, too, if she had the book. But you know what? Just everybody start off with Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. You've heard the commercial. Yes. Yes, thank you so much. And today I'm gonna say goodbye to everybody, but I'm just so grateful that you guys made the time to come join us and let everybody know that they have that permission. Go ahead and take that permission to love yourself and connect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. We'll see you next week as we jump into week 3 of Rise Amazing Woman Rise interview series.